Hi, friends.
Hi, friends.
We're back. It's episode 68 of The Brunch and Judge. I have nothing.
It is.
I mean,
yeah, we don't. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
68. What?
We'll celebrate at something in the future, but I'm like, 68.
75. 75 feels like a good
I mean,
number.
right? It's cool. It's cool. Here for it.
Yes.
Anyway, we are your hosts. I'm April.
And I'm Claire.
And this week we are bringing you some unsolved mysteries. Do 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 do. I can't
Yes.
do the song.
I
I'm
can't.
sorry.
No, I can't either.
And I watched an episode for my stories.
Because we're channeling Robert Stack right now, so.
And like the like trench coat on a smoky street for whatever reason.
Yes, with an ominous street light.
Yes, just enough in the distance to be like,
Yep. Yep, that's us.
but before we get into that, Claire, what are you judging this week?
Okay, first off, I have a little update. This is a
Ooh,
mini thing.
update.
So I don't know if you all have been listening for a while. April judged a while ago these guys who cheated in a fishing tournament. They weighted the fish, so because it
Yes.
was based on weight. I
Yeah.
saw on the news that those guys got 10 days in jail for cheating at the fishing tournament. That was like 10 days. What?
I mean, so here's my question, and you probably can't answer this, and that's cool. Is it like 10 consecutive days, or is it like weekends for the next however many weeks? Because like sometimes like just 2 weekends and you'll get your time in, and I'm
It
like,
didn't say.
is
It
this
just said
like
10
community
days.
service? I don't even understand. Just
Just
show
10
up.
days in jail. 10 days, that's all it said. So I don't know if it
So
was 10
you can
consecutive,
that way you
but
can sit there
anyway.
and think about what you did and how to cheat better in the future.
Yeah. And they were just like, "I'm sorry for cheating."
I'm sorry. I love this sport so much.
Sport. You're right.
And I felt so inferior to the greats that I just felt like I had to do something to be part of it all.
Yep.
Had nothing to do with the money.
Nope.
Nope.
Not at all.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, I saw that on the news this past week and I was like, I have to update you guys.
I mean, that makes me happy.
That
I'm
I thought
very
that was funny though that they got
anti-cheatery.
jail time for that. I was just like, that's
Well, I
interesting
guess
to me.
it's
Not
fraud.
only because they were banned. And I think that's
Yes.
what it was, is it was fraud because there was like a significant cash prize involved because they would have won that if they hadn't been caught. So yeah, but 10 days in jail also and banned for life from that particular fishing tournament.
Oh no, what will they do? They'll just put on like the fake nose and mustache with the glasses
Right.
and eyebrows. We're not them. We're totally different.
Right. I'd be like in Robin Hood when he like tries to hide his appearance when he goes to the archery tournament.
Like, I've got a hood on. You can't tell it's me.
That's right. Ha. But anyway, that was just a little mini update on that. But my judge is it's midterm season
Oh
here. I
God,
don't know
it
about everywhere else.
fucking is. I'm not there either, but I'm
Yeah.
getting all sorts of alerts. I haven't lived in Kentucky in 5 years now, but whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm getting all kinds of junk in my mail and I see it on the TV. I'm getting texts from Ted Cruz wanting me to join him for rallies for Kelly Kraft because I'm still registered as a Republican.
We all
Ew.
make poor life choices.
We do. I need to change that. I'm just lazy. I'm lazy.
Because it takes an effort. I understand.
It
It took
does.
me forever before I finally changed.
It does take an effort. I need to do that. Anyway, so if you're listening out of state in Kentucky, if you're a registered Republican in the primaries, you have to vote Republican. It's not like that in other states,
Oh
so I've
no?
learned. No,
I don't think I
Tessa's.
knew that either.
No, because Tessa was telling my cousin Tessa was telling me in South Carolina, you get to pick which primary you want to vote in. So like when they
Huh.
were doing the
Regardless of how
primaries,
you're registered?
yes, because then she said
Huh.
she went and she voted in the Republican primary just specifically to vote against Trump when it was
Yes.
all that nonsense. Yes, just to like take votes away from him.
Now I'm here for that.
You just had to pick one or the other. You couldn't do both, but you had to pick one. And so she was like, I
I feel like
voted
we
on the
should get to
Republican.
pick, we should get to do both.
Right. But anyway, so some of the things I've been getting in the mail, and I'm just like, I don't understand this. Like, why you're putting this as a talking point on your propaganda that I'm getting in the
Oh,
mail.
God.
Some of the things for like treasurer and agriculture, they're saying stuff like, I'm the only true conservative running for agriculture person, commissioner, or treasurer. And they're like, I'm pro-life. And I'm like, what the hell does that have to do with being treasurer or agriculture commissioner? I do not understand that. Like, and I don't understand why these are like a partisan job anyway, because I'm like,
No.
all you're doing is taking care of cows and corn. And all you're doing as treasurer is like managing money. Like, you're not even
Yeah,
setting the budget.
I care
Like, you're just making
more.
sure people aren't doing anything nefarious with the money. Like, you know,
I would care
because.
more on like what is your stance on genetically modified strains
Yes.
of corn versus, you know,
Yes.
or, you know, how do you feel about the
Free range
growing
cows.
issues with, you know, climate change and how it impacts agriculture, you know, like, or subsidy. Like, I think that's more what
Yes.
I care about than whether or not you think women are full humans and can have free will over their own bodies. So,
Right. And I'm just
I
like,
mean, do I prefer that you think that I too am a true 100% human being all my own and can make choices about my body? I do care about that on a personal level, but when it comes to your job, I don't fucking care what you think. I care that you're good at your job.
right. And I'm
God.
just like, why is
I'm a
this
true
part of,
conservative.
why does this part of your propaganda on your
I
stuff that
love
you're sending me,
that
I as
they
treasurer and agriculture commissioner, and I'm like, what? I don't get this.
I love
Stop
that you
it.
wasted ink on that. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. It's
Cool.
just aggravating because I was just like, I don't. This hurts my head. I don't understand why. Like,
I
I mean,
am.
I feel like if you're, especially if you're going to be a treasurer, I think you should put stuff on there like stuff you've done dealing with money.
Yeah, prove to me you
I
know how to
mean,
count. That
right?
you
Instead
understand
of
what
junk, like,
balancing means.
I'm a true conservative and I'm pro-life. Like, what does that have to do with what your job as treasurer is or agriculture? That has nothing to do with what you'd be doing. I mean,
Well, and I also, you know, personal
that's
preference.
not going to make me want to vote for you. Absolutely not.
If I were a Republican, which I'm not,
I'm a
or
family, you know, or I'm a
honestly,
family man. Being
even
a family man has nothing to do with
I
either
don't
one of
want
those
you, I
things.
okay, unpopular opinion. I don't want family men to be my politicians because that means they need to fucking be home with their wives and their kids. They need to go to game. There are lots of responsibilities when you're a parent, and I think it's incredibly important as a parent to show up to shit because, you know, that
Right.
matters. It truly matters. So I don't want you to be any of those things. I want you to care 100% about this goddamn job, and that's your priority. That's what I want, okay? That's it.
Yes.
I don't fucking care about your children. You shouldn't have children. You should be focusing on your, or your kids can be grown. You can be like, I love my kids, but now that they're gone, shoo shoo, now I can focus 100% on my job.
Yes.
Like, no. I don't want other priorities. One priority. I'm not fucking up this job. That's what I want.
Right.
That's what I want. Just saying.
It just drives me.
I
I'm just
fucking
like
hate the
reading
family
these.
man and
I just
family
like glance
garbage.
over these pamphlets as I toss them in the garbage. But it's just like
Well, and like
all
you're
this money that they're wasting on this shit that's just going straight in the garbage that
yes.
you know, like I said, I'm just glancing at. I'm not, that's my judge basically, is
Yes. It's just, it's so fucking
aggravating.
exhausting
Yes.
because, like, also just because you didn't suck at doing the whole family shtick has nothing to do with whether or not you can do this job.
No.
I'm like, good for you. You were with a person and weren't an asshole and created children that didn't turn into serial killers. Congratulations. Good for you. Like, I don't, so what? Lots of people do
Exactly.
that every fucking day, but they shouldn't be commissioners or treasurers either. So it's
Right.
not really a tick. Can you
I
imagine?
know.
Can you imagine going into a job interview, Claire, and when they're like, so, you know, why do you think you would be a good fit for this job? Oh, because I'm married and I have children. the fuck do you even do? Can you imagine saying that in a job interview? Because that's what this
No.
is. That is what those things are, is like little resumes
Right.
and job interviews. And I would stare at someone that they'd lost their goddamn mind if they came into an interview and was like, oh, well, I'm married and I have kids. I don't
Okay.
care. Does it mean a
What does
damn
that have to do with
thing?
anything? Yes.
Like, don't tell me personal stuff about you. That's not important.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. Also, politics suck.
Yes.
A
Yes,
little
they
bit.
do.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed. So, anyway, that's my judge is I hate this time of year when it's like all the stuff on the TV and in my mailbox and all the random
Like the
text
text
messages I get. I'm
messages.
just like, buff.
Well, so today I
No.
got one and it was from, what is Louisville? Is that 502?
Yes.
Okay. So I live in 54. Well, I don't live in. I live around 541. So I'm very confused in 5507. I don't know. It's too many numbers that are similar to be on the outside of the
Right, yeah.
country, but nonetheless. And so I got a text message from what just looks like a cell phone number.
Yeah.
And like I can't like mark it as junk, which I want to be able to do, and it makes me very
Right.
angry. So like I blocked them because I'm like, stop it. You know, I text one, it had like the stop to end or whatever, and
Right.
like I sent stop and nothing happened. You know how you're supposed to get like the immediate response, oh thank you,
Right.
that you both nothing, and I'm like, this is garbage, you're not a real person. So or like, you are a
Right.
real person, you're not the robot that you're supposed to be. So now I'm really angry about it, so I blocked them. Fuck
Right.
them. Because one, have not lived in Kentucky for years.
Right.
Two, have not been a registered Republican for even more years. And three, like, what the fuck? I'm not gonna vote for Kelly Kraft. Only an idiot's gonna vote for
No.
her. God damn it. She's awful.
I
Like,
know she's like, I'm gonna tear apart the, what is it? The education department. You're like, what?
that's not your fucking job.
I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm gonna build it back up from the ground up. And I'm like, that sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah, let's not touch shit. Let's leave that shit alone. Boy. Is that what I really need for everyone to know is that really what you need to hear is I've been given more money so that I can bombard you so that you'll vote for me just because of name recognition. I have zero qualifications
Right.
whatsoever, but I have a lot of money, so vote for me because I'm buying this election. Is really
Yeah.
what that is. She's like, I'm buying it. Thank you. It's got a price tag. Ugh, gross. Disgusting. I hate everything.
And then meanwhile, you have Daniel Cameron over here who in his ad is like, I'm being endorsed by Donald Trump. And it's like, oh my
That's not a pro.
gosh.
Like, it's like read the room. Like, he's not a good guy. Maybe you don't want that endorsement.
Yeah, he's over here and he's like, I've sued Joe Biden 50 bazillion times, and I've sued Andy Beshear, and I shut down their vaccine mandates because it was unconstitutional. And Trump is endorsing me. And then it's got a little video of Trump like, Daniel is great. I endorse him. And I'm like, oh my
My
God, this is
God.
vomitous. I just want to vomit on all of it.
I've
All
never
of
been
it.
so glad to not have cable and to not live in Kentucky. I mean, I live
Well,
in my own
I
misery,
don't
but.
have cable. It's just on my Paramount app when I'll watch
Oh,
the news and
right.
yeah, I just watch the local station in the morning, like after I work out, you know, I'll be like, oh, I'll just watch the news. But it's like the commercials while I'm watching the news and I'm like, it's all political nowadays and I hate it.
Understand. I understand.
And it will be until after Tuesday. And I'm just like, ugh, I hate life. Anyway, that's my judge. I'm done. I
It's a good
bleh,
judge.
vomit.
It's a good judge.
Anyway, what's your judge?
My judge is how technology that does not have any actual brain or personality or ability to comprehend and understand things or my life choices is constantly fucking judging me, and it's goddamn wrong.
What? Uh-oh. Is this
So,
AI? Are we talking about AI? Like, what's happening?
no, it is not AI.
Okay.
It's not AI. It's the garbage that like they things that they have built into devices to help make you a healthier person, But there's no like concept or perception of what's really happening. So first, I want to bitch about the thing that makes me irrationally angry, and that is the stupid fucking rings on the fitness app on the iPhone.
Okay.
So most of you probably have iPhones because that's the world we live in, but those of you who don't, you're lucky, I guess, because for some reason they put a fitness thing as one of their main apps, which I'm cool with. I'm pro fitness. I used to wear a Fitbit, but my band broke, so I have to wait for a new one to come in the mail. And so I try, like, my Fitbit buzzes at me and I get up and make sure I get my steps. I don't always get 10K, but I try to get like 7,000 to 8,000 at least, especially on the days where I'm sitting a lot. But like I am aware and I'm trying and I care. But god damn it, my Fitbit does not connect with the stupid fitness thing on your iPhone because it's two different companies and god forbid we just let things communicate.
And now Google bought Fitbit,
Yes, I know.
so
And they're apparently letting it die, which makes me angry, but that's neither here nor there. But so like I know that I'm getting up and I'm moving and I'm caring and I try really hard. But because I don't always have my phone in my pocket, or because I'm a girl, so it's in my back pocket, because they don't make real pockets for girls to put in your front pocket, it
it's true.
doesn't read all my steps. And so it's like, you didn't close your ring today. Or
You're like bush.
like in the morning, I swear to God, every fucking morning as I'm getting ready, I'd be like, oh, you didn't close your ring yesterday. Let's try and do better today. And I swear to God, I flip it off every day. I'm like, fuck you, piece of shit. I feel like it makes me so angry because I try so hard to like do good. And I even like really lowered the requirement to close the stupid ring. And it just hates me. It hates me. And it makes me scream. Because I'm trying, and here it is throwing all this shade, and it's making me feel like shame and failure. And I'm like, God damn it. Every day with the judgy, you didn't close your ring yesterday. No, I fucking didn't. Except it did on the Fitbit that's actually counting my real steps. So that is
Okay.
one judge. The other judge is, as many of you know, I am trying to move. We are
Yes.
moving. And in the process of that, I have been doing a lot of like cleaning and tidying, going through stuff, trying to decide, what's worth holding on to, what should be donated, what do I need to trash, trying to pack stuff up. And the only way to do that in a way that doesn't make me scream is to have my iPad on and to watch random garbage. Pro tip. Pro tip, hoarders is an excellent way to get rid of stuff because you're like, I don't want to be like
Oh,
that. Ugh.
you're like, please make me not like that, please.
So it just makes you a little bit more willing to let something go that you really probably should have. So,
Yes.
needless to say, my iPad has been on a lot. And so every Sunday, today's been a bad
Oh,
day,
your
guys.
screen time.
Every Sunday, you get a screen time notification. And I shit you not, my screen time notification was your screen time was up 115% to like 8 hours a day. And I'm like, how is that even possible? I mean, yeah, I mostly watch stuff on my iPad and not the TV. But I was like, well, I mean, to be fair, I have had it on the last couple of days pretty much nonstop as I've been working around the house and doing stuff. But I'm like, this feels really judgy right now.
Right. You're not closing your rings and
And
you're watching more iPad.
I know,
How dare you?
and it's like it, and I swear it was like a 1-2 punch because it was like the ring thing happened. I'm like, oh fuck that shit, because it makes me angry every day. And then within like 5 minutes, the stupid thing came on my iPad, and I was like, fuck this, fuck everything. I hate you, technology. God damn it, made me so angry. Makes me feel bad about myself. You're not supposed to do that, technology. You're not supposed to have feelings. No shaming.
Oh, but they're throwing all the shade at you.
So much shade. And I'm like, I went to get a snack today and I felt so like guilty about everything that I literally just ate like some mango pieces instead of the chips I wanted to eat. Cause I was like, I can't eat the chips because my technology's judging me right now. It was just so much. I won't
I
lie.
can't eat the chips because I didn't close my
I
rings
didn't
and I'm
close the stupid ring.
watching too
Well,
much
and my
TV.
Fitbit is all wonky because like it's not counting any steps because it's my band broke, so I'm like, ah, nothing's counting. If it doesn't count, it's not real, and I get yelled at by technology, and it's I'm spiraling out, guys. It's a spiral. I can't come back from this.
Oh, geez.
So that's my judge. Technology really needs to get like a nicer way instead of like, hey, Apple, if you're listening, maybe program in your little thing that if they're not closing their rings several days in a row, maybe there's something else going on and you should be nicer about it. And instead of every single day being like, you didn't close your ring yesterday, try and do better today, garbage. Be like, hey, look at you. You got 50% of your ring yesterday. Congratulations. Try the positive approach. God damn it. Sorry. It's a lot of curse words, but it really made me angry. It made me feel really bad. It made me feel really bad about myself. In like a 10-minute period, I was just like, shoom.
Tank that self-esteem right down the toilet.
Swear. Like, it's hard to have, you know, people are cruel enough. I don't need technology to
You don't need them judging you too, right?
But and like, oh, it's been a couple weeks ago now, but I actually had the TV on playing Netflix, which I really rarely do. Again, I was packing. I was going through all the stuff on my bookshelf and shelves, plural. So you understand, Claire. So lots of things. I was packing them up. I was dusting stuff off. Blah, blah, blah. And it did the whole, hey, are you still watching? And I'm like, what? What? Of course I'm still watching. It's only been like 2 hours. Calm down. Like, I'm packing in here.
You're like, chill out, man.
So much judgment from technology. I'm going outside. I take a walk most days. Calm down.
I know, that was like last night. Yeah, last night. Brandon and I, we've been watching the last season of Better Call Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, let's watch it together. So we've not been watching it when we're not together.
Very sweet.
And so we are like almost finished. We had like 5 episodes left. So we're like, hey, let's watch it last night. And it was. We watched 2 episodes and it's like, are you still there? Like, 2 episodes? Are you kidding me?
It's like,
you know,
that's,
and then we
that's
watched
normal.
The third one.
That's a normal thing. Calm down.
I know. It's like, just 2? That's your cutoff now? Like, ask after like 4 or 5. Come on.
Yeah.
What are you doing now, dude?
Wait for concern. All right. Like,
yeah.
And what are you going to do if I say, you know, it's not like you can help me and be like, oh my God, looks like I fell right. down while watching this episode.
Right.
And I'm stuck here listening to.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I was watching Grey's Anatomy, random. But, and I was like, you can't save me. It's
right.
Not like anyone's going to do anything. So.
But yeah, I thought that was weird that it was like, we watched 2 episodes. It's like, are you still watching? Mm-hmm. It was like, yes.
Of course
still
I'm still
watching. Calm down. I thought that was really quick, you know. Usually it was like after like 3 or 4, I thought, you know. I was like, dude.
Well, I felt like
weird.
It was like a solid like half a day of just vegging and be like,
right.
Hey, are you still there? Because we've been playing like a lot of episodes at this point.
Because I always heard that, what was it, on 420, they just took that off. Like, yep. It was just like on 420, it was like, let it go.
I learned, because there is a cannabis store. Well, there's probably many near me, but there's one that I have been inside of anyway. And apparently 420 is like a huge holiday here. Like, they get swamped and slammed. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
yep.
It's real? I thought that was just a thing we all were like, ha ha ha. But
no,
it's real?
No.
And they're
apparently
like, yeah.
In the apparently in the places where it's legal, it's like a big damn deal.
You live, you learn.
Yep. But yeah. But, yeah. Quit being judgy, Netflix.
Well, it's just like all the technology. Maybe spread out the judge. Maybe don't do it like first thing in the morning when I'm still feeling positive about my day because it hasn't
right.
really started yet. Maybe wait
right
till the end of the day when I'm already like, I'm a lazy sack of shit. Yep, you're right. Did not close that ring, did I? Well, shit.
Right. Well, that was good. I enjoyed
Thank
that.
You. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, if you're still with us, if you managed to survive both of those judges, we are now going to enter into our unsolved mystery portion of the show. And Claire,
yes.
You are first this week.
Yes.
What unsolved mystery have you brought us?
I'm going to be talking about Flight MH 370.
I hate you so much.
It was literally like, I was just happened to be scrolling Netflix and it popped up as like a suggestion. And I watched the trailer and I was like, oh, it's very fortuitous that I'm going to be talking about Unsolved Mysteries, because this is like one of those things. I was like, oh yeah, I remember this. I think I'm going to watch this documentary and then talk about it. Like,
I mean, I have a lot of irrational fears, like the dead people in my mouth thing and the bridges collapsing over the water, you know, being trapped. It's not just the bridge collapses. I'm trapped in my car and I drown, aware of what is happening. It's very specific to that.
Right.
But I really, when that happened, it just, like, you remember, was it, who's the golfer?
Payne Stewart?
Yes, who was in a plane with some people, and the plane, I guess, probably got depressurized or whatever. They all died, but like, they just let it keep flying. I remember that vividly, and it freaked me out. And so planes that just disappear, no. None right. of those things. I want none of those things. It's right. terrifying.
Right.
And then here's a whole plane of people.
Right, like, right.
Great, Claire. Tell us all yes. about it. And
I will.
Never fly again.
So on March 8th, 2014, Malaysian Airlines flight.
It was that long ago? It was almost 10 years ago? Oh,
yes.
Wow. It feels so more recent in my
And
era.
The Netflix documentary came out on March 8th, so it was like the 9-year
anniversary.
Oh,
no, that's mean. No.
It came out on the 9-year anniversary.
Don't do that, but okay. Keep going.
Yes, it did. Malaysian airline flight MH370 took off from the Kuala Lumpur International Airport in Malaysia. And its destination was Beijing Capital International Airport in China. The takeoff was around 12:42 a.m. and there were 227 passengers on board and 12 crew members. The captain was 53-year-old Zahari Ahmad Shah, and the co-pilot was 27-year-old Farik Abdul Hamid. 153 passengers were Chinese, 38 were Malaysian, and the remaining were from 12 other countries. In the documentary, they talked to a woman whose husband was on the flight, and she was Australian. And then they talked to a man whose wife and two younger children were on the flight, and they were French. They both looked like they were teenagers. And he had another son who was older, who was like at school, like in college, that he had to call later and tell them that his mother and two younger siblings were on that airplane, which I was like, that's terrible. He was supposed to meet them in Beijing, like pick them up, and then the plane never showed. So
I can't even imagine.
I know.
Imagine.
It's Ugh. Terrible.
Spencer flies back this week, so this is going to be in my head now. Thank you.
No. The flight was supposed to be just a little over 6 hours. It was a routine flight. Apparently, that was just like a normal from Malaysia to Beijing and back. Was like a normal thing all the time. Nothing weird about that flight at all. And it said nothing was amiss during takeoff or during the beginning of the flight. It was all normal. And as the plane was leaving Malaysian airspace, Captain Zahari signed off by saying goodnight, Malaysian 370, which was just typical, like, hey, we're leaving Malaysian airspace. And then they said it was like a gray area between Malaysian and Vietnam airspace before they were going to be picked up by like Ho Chi Minh Tower. Mm-hmm. And at 1:21 a.m., the plane just disappeared from radar. Anybody's radar just fell off. Nowhere. stopped sending any location data. Never made it into Vietnamese airspace. Never landed in Beijing. At one point, said that another plane that was like 30 minutes ahead of it, I guess the Vietnamese airspace asked them to try to radio, and so they did over like an emergency frequency and said all they got was like a bunch of interference and heard some mumbling, and that was it. Like, there was nothing that they really got from the airplane. And said that the plane only had just a little over 7 hours worth of fuel. And that was like, if something went wrong and they needed to make it to another airport that was like in either direction, you know. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know where it was. It just, the Malaysian government, they were all over the place trying to find something to say where it was. So social media was on fire. They started a massive search in the South China Sea, which is in between Malaysia and Vietnam. And oil rig workers had started tweeting out, and people were picking up on social media, said that they saw something fiery crash into the ocean. So that was one of the reasons why they started searching the South China Sea. Other people on Twitter said that they saw it crash into the jungle somewhere. And so a lot of these Malaysian air officials, government, they had to take all that stuff seriously because they had nothing to go on. I mean, it was just like he didn't know. It
Right, it's
was
just gone.
it yeah, I mean, this is like
No,
anybody who's calling into like a police station with any kind of tips, like anything that was popping up, they were just having to go with it because they literally had nothing.
I vividly remember this because it was like it was nonstop covered news for days. It was
Oh
so
yeah, absolutely.
horrifying. Ugh.
Yes. So 2 days after it disappeared, Malaysian officials announced that the plane had actually been picked up on a military radar because you don't have to be transmitting anything to be picked up on military radar. Well, they suspected it was the plane
Right,
because they
because they
just
wouldn't
caught
know
this.
otherwise, right?
Yeah, they said it could have been anything. It could have been a helicopter, it could have been a hot air balloon. All they it you know, they couldn't tell that it
Something
was
was in
it.
the sky, it might have been them.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. So they were saying that when it dropped off the radar, that it turned back and flew back across the Malaysian Peninsula and then banked up northwest and then disappeared from radar again. So it like flew back down and then went back up and then disappeared off the military radar. And so then over it was like the Andaman Sea. So then it was like 3 days after it disappeared, their search expanded. So they're searching both the South China Sea and the Andaman Sea. And then everybody's like confused. They're like, WTF,
Yeah.
guys, what's going on?
Like, we're
Like
just
the
looking
reporter,
everywhere.
yeah, the reporters are like, we're confused. What are you doing? And they're like, well, there's no confusion. You know, and it's like
Yeah.
you're watching this and you're like, they don't know. They
No,
don't know
yeah. They don't
anything.
have any
They
idea.
know nothing. They know nothing. 7 days after the plane was missing, confirmed the military data that it was the plane. So they stopped searching in the South China Sea. A satellite company, Inmarsat, had seven pings on their satellite from the plane, which is like this big satellite that's over the Indian Ocean.
Okay.
And there was no, and on these pings, there's no positional info because there was something in the plane that was also from Inmarsat, like with their satellite info. So it was just
Okay.
like, and no positional info or GPS coordinates. So all they could tell was just like how far away the plane was from the satellite. That's basically it.
Okay.
And so, based on that, they're saying the plane could have gone in two different directions after it had banked northwest, that it could have kept going north up to Kazakhstan slash Turkmenistan border, or it could have turned south and just gone towards the bottom of the earth in the Indian Ocean. Like there's nothing there.
Okay.
It would have just crashed out in the middle of the water somewhere. And but they were certain at that point that that wasn't an accident, that something happened.
Right.
So when that happened, that's when the police raided the Captain Zahari's house. He had a flight simulator in his basement, which they said was normal for people who like airline pilots had those in their
Right.
houses. That was not something that was unusual for them to have, you know. So they raided his house and took all his stuff. And Then Inmarsat employee was able to decipher the data and use an equation and work out which route the plane took. And so 16 days after it went missing, the Malaysian government had another press conference stating that MH370 took the southern route and flew into the Indian Ocean, and that they presumed it crashed, even though there was no physical proof for any of this. And so that's what they said on the documentary, was this guy was like, so basically they're telling, this is what he said, basically they're telling these family members, your family members are dead, but it's all based on math. And that's it. That's the only thing that we have. We have nothing else to anything. And so they sent out this massive, it was like Australia, Malaysia, China, some other countries were involved too, but those were the three main ones, sent out these massive search parties into the Indian Ocean. And they, I think, what was it? They spent over $150 million to search more than 46,000 square miles of sea floor in the Indian Ocean, which apparently the Indian Ocean is like some of the roughest waters on the planet. Like, just some of the footage they showed, I mean, you're talking giant waves. Like, it just looked bad.
Noted.
It
Don't go
was
there.
bad. And it was just, yeah. And you know, they had to, like, the search area was huge. They didn't know. They didn't know where to go. It was just like shit. And so they did that, and for 4 years and 4 months. And after that, they just suspended it because, like I said, it was $150 million. And so they're just like, after 4 years, they just called it off. 2015, this is kind of like, I don't know about this. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know how I feel about this. This is like, A piece of debris was found on Reunion Island, which is like off the coast of Africa. It was the flaperon. It's from like the wing. They said it was eventually concluded that it was from MH370, but in the documentary, they mentioned that there should have been like a kind of like plate with like a serial number or VIN number on the end of it. And they said that that thing is like meant to withstand all kinds of shit.
It's
Like, it's,
intentional so that we can
yes.
identify it. Got it.
Yes, it should not have come off. You know, it's meant to withstand all the things. It should not have come off. And the only time that they take it off is when the plane is physically dismantled, like by humans. But there are other serial numbers on that piece that they found. And so I think they said there were like 12 other serial numbers that they ran. And the only, there only one of those serial numbers came back to MH370. And so that is what they were using to say that that piece belonged to that plane.
So, what did the other serial numbers come back to as? Other
They didn't
planes,
say.
or
They didn't say.
I don't like that. That
That's
feels
what, yeah, that's,
kinky.
yes. That to me sounded hinky. And there was a woman, they talked to her. Her husband was a flight attendant on the plane. In fact, she was also a flight attendant and they did a lot of flights together, but at the time she was pregnant, like very, very pregnant.
Oh.
And so she wasn't on that flight, obviously. Yes, they had already had a kid and she was pregnant with her second child. And so, but she said when they found that piece, she was just like, who put that there? Like, she didn't feel like that was, she felt like it was either planted or it
Who
wasn't.
put that there? Who put it there?
Yes.
I'm here for it. Okay.
Yes.
Conspiracy.
They say that they found other debris that might be from the plane. Nothing is like confirmed. It's just all suspected because of just currents from the Indian Ocean and how they go across the sea and wind up off the coast of Madagascar and all that stuff. They think it, if it landed here in the Indian Ocean, it could wind up over there. That's like all I have to go off of. And they think they might have found some belongings from people, but nothing is just, it's all conjecture. I don't know. Like you said, it's all hinky.
It sounds hinky, yeah. I mean,
I don't
could
know how
you
I feel about all that.
you expect, you know, a large aircraft like that would be findable, like be verifiable. Like, I get we can't find Amelia Earhart's remnants, but like,
Right.
small plane, no tracking, no concept of really where she was or where she could have gone. But like,
Right.
shouldn't we be able to find
Oh, and I
this?
didn't mention this. It was a Boeing 777. Yeah.
The
I mean,
big
this is a
fucking
big
plane.
airplane. It's a
Yeah.
Boeing 777. Yes, this is not a small plane. But they said that based on where it washed up, led them to believe the search area was about 9,600 square miles to the north of the earlier search area
Okay.
where they thought it was. But still, I'm just like, meh. I don't know. I just, that whole thing was like, if the VIN number or the serial number wasn't there and they ran the other serial numbers and there's only one serial number that came back, I was just like, you're only going off one serial number versus the other 11. To me, that was like, I'm not here for that. I don't know. I don't know. And then also about a year after the disappearance, the FBI came out and said that the data from Captain Zahari's home flight simulator showed that he had logged a similar course on his flight simulator not long before that happened. And of course, the media went wild with it. Zahari's family, especially his sister, Sakinab Shah, defended him like vehemently. She was totally on his side, saying he didn't have any issues. He had no money issues, no family issues. He was married, had children, had a grandchild, that it was fine. He had been with Malaysian Airlines for 30 years. He didn't have anything bad on his record. He was just a few years from retirement. Like, he had no reason
Yeah.
to do that. So it was just like, you know, but why did the FBI wait a year to come out and say that? That's why I was like, because they had that from the beginning,
Why
you
did the
know, because they
FBI
raided
have it?
that. And that's another thing, yeah. Because it was like
Why?
the FBI was the one, I guess they turned it over. I don't know. I don't
Because,
know if they
like,
turned
I'm
it over to the
assuming he,
FBI. It was just weird.
where did the pilot live? Did he live in, like,
Malaysia.
Malaysia? Okay, so yeah,
He was
why?
Malaysian, yeah.
Why was it? Why did the FBI have
I
anything to
don't
do
know
with
if they
this?
turned it. I guess they turned it over. I
Huh.
guess they turned it over to the FBI. Maybe they wanted their help. I don't. It never really talked
Well,
about that. It just said that
I have
the
so many
FBI
questions.
came out. I know, right? And then in July of 2018, the Malaysian government issued a final report that basically just said, we don't know. I mean, it really was. We don't know what happened. And, but it, they said that they absolved both pilots, saying they didn't believe that either pilot had anything to do with it, that they were satisfied with like their mental health status. And so it's just basically, we don't know what happened. And so the French guy, his name was Galen. I can't, it started with a W, his last name. I can't. All these
Many
foreign
names, it's fine.
words. Anyway, he actually has like some kind of lawsuit going in France, and his is like the only one that's still left. That's still like, they're trying to find something, you know, because I mean, he lost his wife and two children, which I get it. You know, he's adamant about finding something. He absolutely thinks something is hinky with all kinds of things. But the theories, the three main theories in the documentary, which I mean, they briefly touched on stuff because people all over the internet were like, oh, it's aliens.
It
You
was
know, aliens.
aliens.
Aliens did it. You know, that was one of the ones. It was aliens, you know. But one of them, which is the obvious one, is it was the pilot that he, or the main, and they talked about it was the Captain Zahari, because the other guy, he had just been cleared like to fly as like a co-pilot. He had just, you know, he only had like, I think it was like 18,000 hours or something like that. He was newbie. He was only 27 years old. So there's, it's like I said, it's all speculation, but they're thinking that maybe he asked his co-pilot to go get him something, or the
Oh,
guy
so
had
that
to go
he
to the
would be alone.
bathroom. Yeah,
Because
and
you
locked
have to
him
be let
out.
back in because it's a
Yeah,
whole safety
locked
thing,
him
yeah.
out of the cockpit. Yes. And then while he was out of the cockpit, that he started to, what is it when they let the air out of the cabin?
Depressurize.
Yes, depressurize the cabin, drop the masks. And so they're talking about how the mask in the cockpit put out more oxygen than the masks in the cabin.
Good to know. I mean, I get it, fair. You want the driver to be able to drive, but like, can you just make sure there's enough oxygen for everybody?
Yes. And so that basically it was, everybody ran out of oxygen in the back, and that he did it, and then just had everybody out in the back and drove it into the South Indian Ocean and killed himself and everybody. That's like
Number one theory.
the main theory, most obvious theory that people are like, this is probably what happened. The second theory is that it was hijacked, because right after this happened, I think it was 4 months after this happened, another Malaysian airline liner, it was another Boeing 777, was shot down by Russians.
I remember that.
And they think that this was put out by a guy named Jeff Wise, who is an aviation writer. He like does blogs and stuff, and he became obsessed with this whole story. And he was one of the ones who like started an online group called the Independent Group, and they were trying to find out what happened. And when he put out this theory, the group kicked him out because they were like, "That's bullshit. You're ruining our good name." Even though he was the one who kind of founded this group, because they were like, "That's a terrible theory." Like, yeah, they basically disowned him. But he was looking at the manifest and who was on the plane, and there were two Russians on that plane. And so he, again, these people say, yeah, this is wild, but it could have happened, that one of the Russians was sitting not far from this area that you can get into where all the mechanics of the airplane, and basically all it is a piece of carpet that's in between the cockpit and like first,
No.
yeah, it's like a piece of carpet that covers a hole in the floor, the in between the cockpit and like first class, and you just go down in the ground underneath, and that's where like all the electronics are. And that he waited, and he was able to get down in there and like remote in, like hook a computer in to the electronics of this airplane and basically hijack the airplane that way.
Oh my God.
And so he thinks that, and this is like, again, that they were able to hack into Inmarsat and fudge the data to make the data look like it went south when actually the plane went
Went north.
north into Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, which would have been closer to like Russia. And they used it as a way to, it was like a ploy to take their eyes off the Crimean War at that point, because of all that stuff was going on with Russia and Crimea at that point in time. So they're saying that was the second theory, is that the plane was hijacked, that he was able to, and they were like, that sounds something of a Cl Tom Clancy novel, and there's no way that could happen. And, but it's like, I
I
mean,
mean, I don't know. I kept waiting to find out that it had been hijacked and people were like hostages. Like I authentically thought we were gonna have some weird hostage crisis. But that never happened, so
But it could have
whatever.
been one of those where they just kill everybody on the plane. I don't
Yeah.
know. Who knows? So that was his theory. And again, he got lambasted for it. I mean,
Right.
everybody was like, we disown you. for that. We disown you for that theory. It is stupid.
It's like, no.
And then the third one, there was a journalist for Le Monde, a French newspaper, Florence Deschani.
Mm-hmm.
She, because the Galan, who had lost his children, he had talked with somebody who was in with the military, who had told him that the Americans were involved somehow.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, we do bad things, that's fair, but
yeah,
what?
We do. And that there were some, they were called AWACS involved. There are these airplanes that can jam signals. And so he had mentioned that to her. And so she starts looking into the cargo that was on this airplane.
Okay.
And she notices that there were some electronics that were like mentioned, like lithium ion batteries. They were labeled like walkie talkies. They were in these huge crates, but they were never scanned or x-rayed. Yeah. And so, and that's what she's saying. And so she's thinking, because it was going to China,
mm-hmm.
her theory is it was actually some kind of like American technology, that it could have been some kind of like drone or something like that, that China wanted to get their hands on.
Mm-hmm.
That had come in, and they were trying to get it across into China without America knowing about it. And that when the plane disappeared off the radar, that was when the two AWACS, it's AWACS.
Okay.
You didn't say what it stood for, but it was all capitalized. Like it meant, for, you know, like it was, you know, an anagram for something. But these two airplanes came in and jammed the signal. So that would have been when they would have disappeared from the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And probably tried to get them to like land or something. And if the pilot said no, then they came in and they took the airplane out.
Right.
And then, you know, if it was military, then they could make it look like whatever the hell they wanted to.
That's horrifying to think that that. Because that feels real. That feels absolutely like a thing that would happen.
So, those were like the three theories they talked about in the documentary. So, or aliens.
It's like, my mom was like, it was aliens. Because she humors me. I think that they accidentally crossed into another timeline and they landed safely in the other timeline.
Like they crossed into some kind of like wormhole and
yep,
like...
and they're just in another timeline and they have no idea, so they're fine. They're all living exactly the same lives that they would have been living here, except they're there now.
Honestly, I feel like theories 1 and 3 to me sound
real. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, like I said, I feel like they're all plausible.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't feel like any of them are outside the realm of possibility.
Right.
But there are a lot of people who are like, oh, the second two are just ridiculous and they're just conspiracies, and you know, they just feed into the conspiracy theorists, and it's just like, but do they?
I mean, a really hard time believing that we don't know exactly where that plane is with all of the fucking satellites in the sky. Like we don't have constant sight, for lack of a better word, on everything that's in the sky. Like shouldn't we? That feels like a doable thing that we should have. So
I mean, they were saying that airplanes like this big have multiple ways of emitting communication, mm-hmm. and that all of this airplane like went dark at the same time, and that meant that it was some kind of catastrophic event,
right?
And so they were saying that usually they don't, it's in a way that, and that was it, why the one guy said that, the Jeff Wise guy said that it's not in the cockpit where the captain could have done it.
Right.
That's why he was saying it could have been hijacked, where the guy had to get down to like the electrical compartment to do it that way. So, you know, it just, I don't know. Everything about it is just,
yeah, it was so scary when it happened, because like plane crashes happen, but a plane is never disappeared like this, where there's just this
Right.
many years later, we still don't know. We have no idea where it is.
Right.
No one has really found an authentically verifiable piece of anything. Like, it's
Yeah.
bizarre.
It's very bizarre. And you have all these families who do not know, like they know nothing. It
Right, and that's awful. But bleh.
is terrible. And it's just, you're watching it, and you're like, God, this is awful. Like, how, you know? And you feel bad for the people who worked at the Malaysian airport because they, you could tell they were just like, authentically, they didn't know.
No. Well, and
But the Malaysian government officials, you were just like, you know, you could tell, like, do they know something? I feel like they know
yeah,
something, and they're
they
not
probably know
sharing
something.
with the whole cult. Yeah, but that's my story on MH370. They still don't know where it is or what happened to it
I hate it.
or what caused it to disappear.
I
They
hate
know nothing.
it. I hate it so
Yeah.
much.
And that's what they're saying. This is like the biggest aviation mystery ever. So. They know nothing.
I hate it. Bullet.
And all these families, and like I said, that Ghislaine in France, he's the only one who has any kind of lawsuit still out trying to figure out something, what's happening with this, which I don't blame him because he lost almost his whole family. So
Yeah, I mean, it's horrible, but
it is terrible.
I hate it.
I do. I hate it for everybody involved because it was just watching, it was just like, God, this is terrible. But it's still definitely an unsolved mystery because nobody knows anything.
Right? Ugh.
So that's my story.
That was an excellent, horrible story. Thank you, Claire.
It is a terrible story. So, what story are you talking about this week?
So I am bringing to you the story of the disappearance of Tim Molnar.
Tim Molnar.
So
Okay.
I got
That name
to
sounds slightly familiar.
I mean, it may or may not be. I got all my information from Unsolved Mysteries, the OG show,
Yes.
their fandom website, and a Reddit user called O Maitland, which we'll come into that at the end.
Okay. Oh, I don't think I named mine things.
Oh, hey, real quick,
It
your
was,
sources.
yeah, it was Wikipedia. The Netflix documentary MH3 370, the plane that disappeared. What was the other one? Think it was like The Guardian, maybe. Washington Post.
Ooh,
That
there
was
you
it.
go.
Washington Post. The article. Those were my sources. Sorry about that.
No worries. All right, so this was on like season 8 maybe of Unsolved Mysteries. I don't remember
Okay.
now. So January 24th, 1984, 19-year-old Tim Molnar is an aeronautical mechanic student at, I'm gonna say, Embry-Riddle, never heard of it, Aeronautical University.
Okay.
It's in Dayton Beach, Florida. What,
Okay.
what? So he's 19. He's in school, but he's still living at home because it was close. And who doesn't want a home-cooked meal, man? Like,
Right.
screw dorm life. Bleh.
Right, definitely. Nobody wants to eat that college food.
No. And Tim himself was a very quiet, sensitive type. He was doing really well in school and had made it to the dean's list, so he was a very serious student. And on the morning of January 24th, he took his 14-year-old younger brother, Frank, to school and then realized he had forgotten his bike because I guess he needed it to bike across campus. I don't know, or just liked it. Not sure. And so he went home to get his bike and he puts it into the trunk of his car, which was a 1969 Dodge Dart.
Nice.
Which meant nothing to me, but I looked it up.
April's like, I don't know cars.
I don't. Spencer is out, and he rented a car, and he sent me a picture of the steering wheel that has like an emblem on it, and I'm like, I don't know what that is.
You're
He's
like,
like,
I
you
know
won't guess what
nothing.
I'm driving, and I'm like, I don't know what that is. And he's like, the T is for Tesla, and I'm like, you're driving a Tesla? The hell? They rent those? But whatever. Anyway. Tim, however, he was very into cars, so he knew his cars. So his mom actually caught a glimpse of him as he was driving away. So he did go home, get the bike, put it in his trunk, and
Yes.
left. And he was supposed to head to school for classes, but didn't. And his family never saw him again. So, like, that evening, they were concerned because he hadn't come home. But, and they had had like a phone call that was just static. There was no voice on the line. So they weren't really sure what that was about. But like as time passed and realized he was gone, like they were, of course, concerned. Their 19-year-old son had disappeared. There had been no indication that he was unhappy or that he was wanting to leave or like had
Right, it's not
planned
like he ran
anything.
away. Yeah.
And so it would be 2 weeks until they got their first clue. They learned that the credit card that was his parents', but he had in his possession, had been used to purchase gas at a gas station in Lake City, Florida, which is 150 miles away.
Okay,
So
well,
they
all
were
right.
like, oh, okay. So they go to the gas station. It's been 2 weeks, but they go and they find the gas station attendant that remembered their son because of the car. It's a notable
Right.
car, apparently. For people who know cars, apparently a 1969 Dodge Dart means something to you. Not me, but
I
to
mean, I would
you.
say like in the 80s, it probably did. I mean, especially if it was like a certain color, maybe it probably stood out. You
But
know.
apparently it's a cool car. I mean, Tim was
Yeah.
really into cars. He loved his
Yeah.
car. He worked on his car. It's one of
Yeah.
those things. The stereotypical, like, 70s, 80s boy who loves cars. I don't know.
Right. Yes.
So the attendant remembered the car and remembered Tim and said that he'd been alone. There wasn't anyone in the car with him. He seemed fine. Didn't seem to be under duress or anything. It was no big deal. They talked about the car for a minute. And so they were like, okay, well, that's weird. Maybe
Yeah.
he, wanted to like start a new life or something. I don't know. They have no idea. They wouldn't get their second clue for another 4 months.
Oh, wow.
So 4 months later, they received a letter in the mail from an auto impound company in Atlanta, Georgia. So it turns out that the car had been left in a parking lot for 6 days, starting like January 24th. And so it had been impounded because it had been left. That parking lot turned out to be a block away from the Greyhound bus terminal. So they were like, okay. So they go get the car and they search the car. And inside, they find Tim's driver's license, his wallet,
Weird,
the
yeah.
credit card that was his parents' credit card, and also realized that, some expensive things were missing from the car, including the bike. It was no longer in the trunk. The stereo that he had put into the car himself, because you need a better one in 84 than what would have been in there in 69.
Right, absolutely, yes.
And an expensive tool set that he kept in the car that he used to work on the car. So those were all missing. Now, they were conflicted. Because it seemed like perhaps he was trying to leave and start a new life. They at this point had discovered that he had taken nearly all of the money out of his savings account, leaving only $10, which is weird. Why leave $10? But he also had taken no clothes with him. So he only had the clothes on his back. He didn't pack anything else. Nothing else was missing.
That is weird.
So that is kind of where it stops, sort of.
I
So,
think I
no,
know
but.
why. I think I know why I know this name is because I think when I was searching, we had this previously, this guy's name came up.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But then I wound up doing something else. I think that's why I recognize the name is because his name came up as
Right.
like an unsolved mystery. I think that's why.
So, November 17th, 1995, we've moved ahead about 10 years. Is the first time that this case appeared on Unsolved Mysteries.
Okay,
So
yes.
at that point, Tim's family believed he was alive, living a life under another name, that he just had some reason to leave, but they wanted him to come back home. And it had turned out.
Why would you think? I mean, because everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, because who's going to leave their wallet and their driver's license, though? That just to me seems wild.
Like, well, and not pack any clothes. Like, okay, yeah. You took out all your money, but. And, like, obviously he was driving. He seemed to have driven there without being under duress of any kind. So it's bizarre.
And also it's weird to me, too, that you would work so hard on a vehicle.
Mm-hmm. And then leave
and
it.
Then just not do. Yeah. Like, that was, like, what you did. And you just dumped it.
And he was a good student. And he left school. So, like, it's a lot of weird things. So the case is on Unsolved Mysteries. They're trying to find him. So it turned out that not long after he disappeared, a relative, not mentioned, had passed away, and that Tim actually was heir to about $50,000. So I think they're trying to lure him back home. Find out where he was by saying,
"Hey, you got some money, come get it."
let's see. And at this point, Tim's mother, Helen, was also working with a nonprofit organization that she helped create called Mother's Aid to Missing Adults. So, like, doing lots of things.
Right.
So, it initially aired then, and they got no bites. But then it re-aired about 2.5 months later on January 31st, 1996, when a viewer named Stephen Cole called the telecenter. He recognized Tim's clothes from the, you know, the, what do they call it? They're like acting it out on Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, the reenactment?
Reenactment. I kept trying to go reproduction, like, no.
The reenactment, yeah.
The reenactment. So apparently they had put him in the outfit that they had seen him in last. It was like it was a striped polo shirt, but it was kind of an oddly striped shirt and khakis.
Right.
I watched it, so. And so Stephen Cullen recognized those clothes as ones that he had found on a body frozen in ice 10 years earlier in Neosho, Wisconsin.
What?
So he contacts the, you know, Unsolved Mysteries or whatever. He's like, "Hey, I think that's the body I found or whatever 10 years ago." What? In 1984, so like,
oh no,
that, and so they ended up contacting the medical examiner and Tim's family and did DNA sample things, and through testing was able to confirm that it was his body.
Oh,
and
no.
The only thing that was with the body was a set of keys that matched the locks to the Molnar home, so he still had his keys.
Wow.
Now, Tim's death could not be determined. There had been no signs of trauma of any kind. They also could not determine how or why he traveled all the way to Wisconsin, nor why he was still wearing the exact same clothes he left in. That's a lot. I mean, if you took the Greyhound bus to Wisconsin, that's days of travel. So his family held a memorial service for him and had him buried in Daytona Beach, Florida, but his death still remains a mystery. And since then, his mother and father have both passed. But now it gets interesting.
Okay.
So
it
is an unsolved mystery. No one knows how this guy who is in Florida somehow ends up in Wisconsin, frozen in ice, by the way, out in the middle of freaking nowhere. So I stumbled upon a Reddit story that seemed to be someone who wrote in response to hearing this, maybe on a Morbid episode. I've not heard that episode, so I don't know. But it had Morbid in it, so I think it must be talking about that podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So the writer knew some of the players in this game, and in the 1980s, the writer's family had a family friend that I'm going to call Rob Johnson because allegations. Because, like, they named the person, and I'm not doing that. I'm scared.
Oh, okay. So he, like, flat out was like, "Oh, I'm just gonna name names,
right?
I'm gonna spill the tea and name everybody's business.
I'm just gonna call them Rob Johnson because it's a Reddit story and I don't know things,
right?
So Rob was a friend, or was friends with the writer of the Reddit story's uncle, And the writer's parents thought that Rob was weird and odd and didn't particularly like him. Because apparently Rob would just sometimes be found on their family property, like uninvited, in areas that turned out to be very close to where Tim's body was eventually found. And
So
they
this
always,
person lived in Wisconsin.
yes.
Okay, gotcha.
And they always felt like Rob was scoping the land out for some reason. Like, he just seemed, the vibes were weird. And so this particular property is very remote farmland, which is perfect for hiding bodies.
Right.
Now, Rob also was into aviation, flew planes, went to Florida frequently, so it's possible he could have known Tim through connections, through flying, and for
Okay.
being in the area, because Rob apparently had a plane that he flew back and forth. And Rob also let young men stay with him in this small, like, barn-like shack. Like, young men who were just kind of like passing through, drifters, so to speak.
This sounds all kinds of
Which
shady.
also is a thing that maybe Tim could have been doing if he'd been up there. He may have been a drifter. It could have possibly been staying at Rob's.
Or if he had met him
Right.
like at the aviation school and was like, hey, what if you come visit me sometime? That could have possibly been it too. Maybe.
So,
I don't
yeah, it's
know.
just, it's like, it could just be a coincidence, but it's odd.
Yeah.
So Rob also was a poacher who would, which just meant that he hunted illegally out of
Yes.
season and he would survive off of his hunts. But he would try to burn the bones of his illegal poached kills in a furnace. And when that didn't work, he ended up trying to find other methods for their disposal. So, like, it's a whole, like, weird vibe happening there. And
Yeah.
then later, Rob was convicted of sexual assault of a child and ended up moving to Arizona. So it's one of those, the writer was like, yeah, Tim was 19, but he was still, but still young, and he was very quiet and shy and, like,
Right.
maybe easy target to some, a predator like Rob. And so Stephen Cole, who
Right.
was the guy who found Tim's body, lived across the street from the writer of this article's aunt and uncle's house. And had they'd been neighbors for many years. So, like, it's all very close, this little area of people, even though it's, like, pretty remote. No one really lives on most of their land.
Right.
Now, I will tell you that the writer said that he and his brother gave all of this information to Unsolved Mysteries. They sent it to other true crime podcast things as well. They contacted Milwaukee Homicide as well as sent the information to the FBI, but so far nothing has come of it.
Interesting.
So, the writer, I'll read the last little bit. The writer said, I'm trying to remember more. I have a feeling I've forgotten a super creepy piece of the Florida connection, but wanted to put this out there for my conscience and for Tim. If this guy had something to do with it, then I have to say something. But oddly, when I contacted my aunt, she said she wanted nothing to do with it at all. Talking about, like, tipping the FBI. And my
Yeah.
uncle had been sort of defensive when talking about it, but I think he's dealing with guilt from being friends with Rob and not realizing who he was. So it's like, he, the writer did put all of this, did actually send it to the right people, but I mean, a lot of it's conjecture, but it's still, it's odd. It's bizarre coincidences,
Yes.
really. But
Well, and also,
so,
I mean, you talk about not anything not coming of it. I mean, I feel like anything, like look at the Crystal Rogers case. You know,
Yeah.
they found junk, but it's like that was 2 years ago. And
Right, yeah.
nothing has been said. So if it's one of those things where they're trying to dot all their I's and cross all their T's before they do anything, I mean, I get that. I mean, if they're wanting to like have everything lined up in a row before they make an arrest or accuse anybody, because it is such a big
But I
deal and
mean,
they don't want to screw it up. I
they
mean, I get
ultimately
that.
have no idea how this guy died. Like, he may
Yeah.
not have even been murdered, but what was
Yeah.
he doing up there?
Right.
And I
Yeah.
mean, this poor family, so, thought he was alive, and he probably was dead pretty soon
Soon,
after.
yeah.
Because he's wearing the exact
Exact
same
same
clothes,
clothes.
and
Yeah.
that's
And that's
weird.
wild that they were able to find something so close to what he had on. And
Yeah.
that was the thing that
That was the trigger of the
caused
person.
somebody
Like,
to call in.
they were
Yeah. Like,
like,
oh, I
wait,
recognize that
I found
shirt.
a dead body with those clothes on. And you're like,
Right.
what?
Yeah.
It's like in Wisconsin. What?
I know. That's crazy.
So bizarre. But that is the unsolved disappearance slash death of Tim Molnar.
That is nuts.
It
They
is
still
nuts.
don't,
It's
and they
such a
still don't
weird
know
show.
how he died. I
No.
mean, ugh.
Don't
I
know how
do.
he
I hate
died.
that.
Don't know how he got there. Don't know anything. Can never track down anything.
I'm currently reading A Flicker in the Dark, and there is a part where it's about a girl whose father is a serial killer, and it's coming up on like the 20th anniversary of he murdered a bunch of teenage girls when she was almost a teenager, and it's coming up on the 20th anniversary of it, and now all of a sudden girls are going missing again. Now, I'm not that far into it, about 100 pages in, but it's when the first girl goes missing now. She's an adult, and she happens upon the search party for the first girl. And she kind of walks out there and she's talking about like going places and just imagining like how many people are underneath your feet as you're walking. And I just had that moment of like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Well,
And in
it's
that
like,
moment too, where it's just like when you just like stumble upon a dead body, like, oh, geez. Like, what? You know, you think about that, like, there could be a dead body buried under where
well,
I'm walking right
Spencer
now.
and I have been looking at places to move to, and one of the places is near like a, I don't remember how many miles long or whatever, but several miles long, paved, because that's my level of commitment, path that's,
Yes.
in nature.
Yes.
And I'm like, how many dead people are out there?
Right. Well, that was like even when we were talking about like what was it? Like the Bigfoot episode and how with the weed farms out there and how they're protected and people just disappear and you just imagine like how many dead bodies are like out in the wilderness, out in the Pacific Northwest
Oh, I
somewhere. Like,
imagine lots and lots and
oh
lots, because people
gosh.
disappear all the time. There's always, I mean, there are always like missing posters and stuff everywhere. I don't hike here, guys. It's fine. Don't worry about me.
Like, I can't. Sometimes it's like you can't let yourself dwell on it too much because then you're like, oh,
No.
geez.
Well,
Oh,
and like
no.
every once in a while, if I'm riding in a car for a long period of time or driving by lots of houses, I'm like, how many people are locked in basements in these houses that I'm passing? Yeah.
I mean,
Those weird things that gets someone says it once and that thought
yes.
sticks in your head, it pops up
What it
every
was, it just
time.
read that one line in that book when she's just like talking about walking. And it's like, how many dead people are underneath my feet? I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish I hadn't read that line. Because now I was like, oh,
It's there
geez.
for you forever. You will pull it back up at all the worst times.
Right. It's true. It's true. Like, if I get back into running and I'm like running on some trail and it's like, oh, geez. Nope. But yeah, it's stuff like that. You know. I just hope it never happens, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that person who's out walking or running and be like, I found something and I don't like it.
One of my stupid, super weird, I don't want to say like bucket list things because that sounds gross, but like I've always wanted to find a person, but like I'm talking like the bones to be like, oh my God, that that can bring closure to somebody. Like I don't want to
Oh.
stumble across like a murder field or anything, but like the idea of being able to bring closure to somebody to find, because there's so many people who go missing. I swear to God, I heard something like 1,500 people a day go missing, and I'm like, what the fuck? I can't.
Right.
That's a lot. I mean, like, I know that some of those people are found, and it's you know, it's not
Yes.
a dire thing, but there's a lot of people who are just never found, and to be able to bring some closure to people might, I mean, someone needs to
Exactly.
find them. I guess what I'm saying is that I don't mind if I find them, just not like a lot of grotesque things. No smells. I don't want
No
smells.
smell.
No smells. Just it's like, oh, that looks like a weird rock. Oh, not a rock. That's a skull. Got it. Cool. Gonna call somebody now. Like that's where I am at. But I don't go off the trail, so it probably won't happen to me because
Right. Yeah, you're like, I'm not gonna,
I
yeah,
don't
not.
even like to go on trails. I'm like paved path level.
Right. Definitely. Well, that
Thank
was a good story. Thank you.
you. It's a nice one. I liked it. I have to pick. I have to be careful what I pick because Spencer's not home and stories sit in my mind. I tried to watch Criminal Minds, like the newer show, and I can't. It's
Oh.
too dark, and I'm like, nope, got it, can't do this. So it's
It
all sorts
is,
of
yeah.
like, I'm watching Hoarders and America's Next Top Model apparently still exists, which cracks me up. So,
Ugh, no, can't do it.
you know, they're just so catty, and I love it. Oh, I watched and I'm desperate. What? Cause, well, because I was watching Grey's Anatomy, but I caught up. I watched The Summer I Turned Pretty on Amazon Prime, and
What
like,
is that?
it's based on a book. I've never read the book, and I'm not going to. It's disgusting. Like, the whole thing is horrific.
Sounds awful.
Well, it's like a girl. She turned 16, and like, you know, she outgrew all of her awkwardness, and they go to this beach house with like her mom's best friend and her sons every summer, and she's pretty, like, she's coming to her own. She's grown up. That's not really the summer I turned pretty. It's the summer that she was no longer a gawky, weird tween and cared about
Okay.
her appearance and was into boys is more correct than anything. But like,
Right.
she's not really a good person. Like she's been in love with one of the sons forever, but ends up sort of dating this guy and kind of treats him shitty while she's there, and then ends up like hooking up with the younger brother and thinks, oh, trying to get out. And I'm like, it's very dirty and messy and gross in a way that I'm like, I don't want teens to think that this is okay, because
You're
she's
like,
fucking with a lot of
no.
people's feelings in this show. So there's that. But what's her name from? What is her name? Why can't I remember it? But one of the moms is from a movie from our 90s, and I can't think of anything now. So never mind. We'll just ignore that. I'll text you later.
You'll text me later.
You'll be like, this is who it is. But anyway.
I need a sweary affirmation.
Sweary affirmation. All right, guys. This week's sweary affirmation. Believe that there is a shit ton of goodness coming your way. Believe
Yes.
it. I need it. I need some goodness. Because this
We
week
do.
has been a shit show. But that's okay. We can't always have what we want when we want it. We should.
Nope.
We should always get to have what we want when we want it. But whatever. No big deal.
No biggie.
That must mean that it's time for
Yes.
Tarot Time with April. A spooky, I keep hitting the microphone.
I do that all the time.
Then like I'm hitting just like the wire or whatever. It's having a panic attack. All right, Claire. You have the power to give us good cards. Are you ready? You have
Okay.
the power.
I got the power.
Claire, that there is a shit ton of goodness coming your way.
Yes, I'm gonna put the good vibes
Okay.
out.
Here we go.
Good cards only.
I feel bad that I can't like mimic the Unsolved Mysteries thing. It's like doo 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 doo, but I can't quite.
Right.
And then it's always, you know, it's just weird.
I know, because it's just weird piano music. It's like.
Yeah, although I will say, as much as I love the new Unsolved Mysteries, I'm a little sad that they don't have some host to introduce them,
Right.
because I feel like that was part of what made that show so
Yes.
goddamn scary, by the way.
Stop. Yes, I feel that.
We are starting our week with judgment, as we always do.
Oh, yes. Indeed.
Our middle of the week will be filled with the Pope, who won't leave us alone.
Oh my gosh.
I swear, what is this? We need to like count how many times he shows up this year, because obviously he
I
got a
mean,
thing. He got a thing.
he's
And we're
haunting
ending with the, I can count, Nine of Pentacles.
He's haunting us.
He is haunting us. And like, normally I don't believe that the universe is really trying to actively communicate with me as a general rule, because who the fuck am I? But this is beginning to feel a little ridiculous. So I'm like,
Right.
maybe they are. Maybe I need to continue deep diving on my Pope love here or something. Let's see. Looking for judgment. Shouldn't have to look
Feel
too
bad
far.
because we don't ever get like either one of my cards. We get yours all the
Well, we just get the Pope all the fucking time. Let's be very specific. Very
fucking time.
specific. Because I think we've had temperance like maybe once or twice, which we've had yours a couple times. So it's just this one card
Yeah,
that haunts us. Okay.
because I think we've had the devil once, and I think we've had the lovers once.
But God forbid, like, I mean,
Yeah, I think
I
you're right.
don't
I think we've had temperance like twice.
know. But this guy, what can I say? Okay. Let's see. Blah 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 blah. The sun shines into all of the cracks and crevices. It also brings a lot of light of it also brings to light a lot of things we've shoved away when no one was looking. Let's see. Blah 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 blah. Apparently judgment is sometimes we're assholes in our past or whatever. I don't know. Oh, judgment card is about release. The basic card has to do with judgment day when all of the sins are wiped clean and we're taking bodily into heaven or something like this. Anyway, the judgment card is not so much about wiping the slate clean as accepting that your life is full of holes and mistakes and graffiti and scuffs, and all of those marks and flaws are what make you beautiful. Oh, I'm here for that.
That's not bad.
This card often comes up when we reach a crossroads. We can continue the way we've been, or we can challenge ourselves and find our authentic path. Our one true calling, or not one true, our true calling is out there, and although it's easier to remain complacent and accept what has made us comfortable, it doesn't do us a damn bit of good. It doesn't help us grow, and it doesn't help us become more complete people. And then we have the Pope who's telling us we gotta learn how to, I guess, do shit again. No,
We still haven't learned.
and like, I'm gonna look at this again because I mean, obviously, I'm missing something.
Like, what do you want from us?
I know. Like, I mean, my book literally opens to the page of the Pope now. That's how many times I've opened to the Pope. Can I quit doing it for a while, guys? Because, like, let's see. Da, da, da. I'm trying to figure out the important things. No, we don't have cross keys at his feet, but that matters. You have to earn your followers. You don't just get to assume you know everything. You have to be cunning, clever, and fast. You have to work so you can get to the throne, so you can pick up the keys to the throne. Because I guess in the traditional, it has the cross keys of like the Pope. That if you will recall, in the terrible movie version of Angels and Demons, gets burned
Yes.
into the flesh of the idiot guy because he does it to himself because he's a fucking idiot. Anyway, moving on. Had to yell about that. This card can have several meanings. The Hierophant is a teacher. He represents a group or class and is an authority. He has studied for a long time. He's learned all that he can and is passing it on to others as his life's work. He is all about tradition and using the old knowledge to teach the new generation. There's
This is
obviously
so
a religious
cool.
angle to this card, but he takes information and passes it on. He's an archivist and a librarian, and weirdly, this comes up all the time for computer professionals. The Hierophant can indicate the need to conform and educate yourself, or that you need to establish a spiritual tradition. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe yelling at me and my lack of spirituality. Maybe that's what it all is. Like, I have none.
It's both of us.
I'm like, gosh. I talk to the universe, sort of. You know, the voice in my head, because that's really all we have anyway. It's that weird voice that we talk to all day long. You do, like, have conversations in your head, right?
Me? Yes.
Yeah, like, that's normal. I'm not weird.
No.
Okay, just making sure. Sometimes I wonder.
No, I have conversations in my head all the time.
A pathway to gain the education that lets you live your most authentic life. So apparently it's time for us to move forward and do better and work for it. And I don't know. That's a lot. There's a lot of things happening, guys. I don't know. Maybe it's not even about us, Claire. Maybe this is the card speaking to you, dear listener. One of you out there. It's your fault. Learn the things you need to learn. Learn them. I don't know.
But it's probably us.
Well, because I mean,
because we're the drama.
Me.
Oh my
it's
God.
me.
Are
I'm
we
the
the
drama.
drama? Oh my God. Are we the drama? No, we're not the drama.
I heard again, TikToking. I guess the voice is still a thing. I don't know. I don't watch TV. And
Apparently.
they had I guess two of the people, because I don't remember how it works, but I think two people who were on it were singing a duet and they sang it to that song.
Oh, they did? Okay.
And it was beautiful because it was like slowed down and just like all harmonized and beautiful. I was like, this
Ooh.
is really pretty. I mean, I'm not going to watch the show, but it was on my TikTok. So here we are.
Nice.
Okay. Ending our week, our
Yes.
confusing Pope filled week with the Nine of Pentacles.
Yes.
This card speaks to gratitude and confidence. It's about treating yourself as well as you treat the people you love. We've had this recently. And I love that. It's the result of hard work and perseverance. Oh my God. It's like the Pope is screaming at us in this set. It's like, seriously, screaming. Fine, I'll do the hard work. Just tell me what it is. Can you just be like
What do
really
you want?
specific? Give me a specific thing. Be like, this very specific thing is the thing. So that I'm not picking. I am apparently, subtlety is not working. So like smack
Give
me in the
me a
face with it. That one.
sign. Hit
Hit
me,
me,
Pope,
baby,
one
one more
more
time.
time.
Hit me, Pope. I love it. Yeah, all right. Well, there you have it. That is our week ahead. Good luck to all of us trying to figure it out. So, what shall it be, Claire? What does our Wheel of Fate have for us this week?
Let's see.
I keep meaning to like update it, so whoopsies, just saying. Da da da, it's me. I can't get the thing to click. There it is. Thank you. Here we go. I don't even know what I want anymore. It's spooky,
spooky,
spooky.
Spooky.
I'm excited about that. I love the effects. I swear there's like one person who's like, woo! Whenever it's magical. Good. I'll be able to do that again because Spencer will be home, so I won't scare myself shitless because that's my reality. It's hot here now, so like I had to turn on
I know
a
it's
fan
getting
in our bedroom, and it's oscillating slightly.
Yeah, it's getting
So
humid here. I don't like it. It's like, thanks,
it
I hate
makes.
it.
Well, it makes things move that don't normally move. So, like, it was waking me up at night. So I'm like, oh, something's moving. I'm like, no, April, you're fine. No one's in the house. Nobody wants you. You're old now. You're 40. You're fine.
Oh, no.
So, that's what happens in my head. I don't... It's a weird place to be. What can I say?
I know. It's humid here now, and I hate it.
Yeah, it sucks.
I'm like,
but...
ew. Like, ooh, where did fall go? I want fall back.
well, I mean, we'll get there. It's gonna be a little while, but
I know.
I'm over here being like, 2 weeks ago I was in a hoodie because it was fucking ice cold, and now I'm like literally wearing the least amount of clothing I can possibly wear because it's freaking hot. So, anyway, well, I guess until next time when we cover more spooky, spooky things.
Yes.
You can find us in all the things and at all the places at
Brunch and Judge.
Please follow, like, subscribe, comment, etc., etc. And you can send us topics for our wheel or any stories you'd like for us to cover to us at
brunchandjudge@gmail.com.
So until next time, keep on brunching.
And keep on judging.
Bye.
Bye.
Also, maybe don't get on a plane.
For a while.
A little while.
Unless you absolutely have to.
Yeah.